So you probably feel like you're spending enough money on presents as it is this holiday season, and now you have all those extra people in your life you need to give money to who aren't your loved ones. The amount of the annual Christmas bonus seems to get bigger every year for companies that can afford it. Well, this year, the number of people you need to give to seems to be growing too, according to Consumer Reports magazine. Are you tipping your sanitation worker, your newspaper delivery person, your kids' teachers, your dog walker, your fitness trainer, if you have all these things? The New York Times blog City Room is looking at this ever-expanding cadre of holiday tipping obligations that people feel. They also look at how sometimes tipping too much can alienate the person you're tipping. With me now is City Room editor and Facebook friend of the show, as of yesterday, Sewell Chan. Sewell, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Hello, Brian.
So it's standard nowadays to tip a doorman or a building superintendent, but do we really need to tip our sanitation route person and the fitness trainer for those who have one?
Well, what surprised me the more I researched this was, as you point out, the number of occupational categories that seem to expect tips, or at least where there's a question about whether a tip is appropriate, seems to be ever expanding. And this even goes, most interestingly, to people who are in the public sector. 3 years ago, Chancellor Klein said that you cannot give public school employees, parents cannot give public school teachers, gifts worth more than $5. Which is obviously, you know, not something that can go. $5 doesn't go a long way nowadays. I also check with the Postal Service. It's very, very common for people to want to tip $5 per student. I meant, it's very common for people to try to tip their letter carriers or their mail carriers. But the Postal Service actually forbids that and says that you may give a non-cash gift as if it's worth under $20 and is not convertible to cash. But they strongly discourage, you know, slipping your mail carrier a $10 bill or.
Why is that? What's so bad about that?
They don't want it to be construed that a public service is dependent upon, you know, private largesse. The Postal Service spokeswoman I spoke with said our letter carriers do the same job for every customer. There's no need to tip them. I'm not sure the letter carriers would agree.
So I see the average tip for a newspaper carrier is $10 to $20, as it is for a sanitation collector, $20 to $50 for a child care provider, $25 to $75 for a housekeeper.
That's according to Consumer Reports, which surveyed 1,800 Americans.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. How many people do you feel obliged to tip this holiday season? Is it increasing? Do you feel the tipping anxiety that Sewell Chan writes about on City Room, which, by the way, you can see that blog at nytimes.com/cityroom. Is this tipping anxiety new? What if you're on the receiving end of tipping? I think it's the Consumer Reports article. Sewell, tell me if it's not. That said, there is such a thing as tipping too much that actually can change the nature of the relationship between the tipper and the service worker in a negative way. But call us, 212-433-WNYC, tippers and tippies, 212-433-9692, or post a comment, as some people are doing, at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What is that about tipping too much?
Let me answer both of your questions, Brian. First, this idea came of tipping too much and what it signifies about one's status comes from a book by Peter Behrman, a Columbia University sociologist who wrote a wonderful book on doormen in 2005. And his idea that is if you tip too much, then you're really transforming the relationship almost to a master-servant relationship rather than one of employer-employee or, you know, service recipient.
As a thank you gift.
And service gift. Exactly. It should be more of a thank you gift, not sort of an expression of domination. You don't want to, you know, express too much of the difference in social status and economic power between the recipient and the giver. I think that's Behrman's idea. You know, you also asked me, Brian, about my own personal experience. It's interesting. I live in a very small building where we have a live-in superintendent, but we don't have a doorman or a concierge or a porter. So it's fairly you know, centralized in terms of who we give the tip to, and our super does a wonderful job. But what I found is that in reading through these comments, and so many people I've talked to feel that when they live in very, very large buildings, they're kind of at a loss of what to do. And it's the large buildings that have, you know, extensive building staffs where the dilemma between individual tips and giving a pool tip, for example, seems to be especially strong.
Yeah. So what do you advise in those situations? I used to live in a very big multi-building complex, rent-stabilized complex, you know, pretty much middle-class people there. But it had this big porter staff, and you kind of knew everybody by name if you lived there for a while. You know, I think people didn't know what to do.
Well, what's very interesting is that buildings are trying to act more proactively, Brian, is what I'm noticing. A lot of buildings will send out a card or a staff list that actually has the names of every single staff member with their title and their role. And it's interesting. Some people find it very, very helpful because it gives them a guide of whom to give their envelopes to. Other people see it as being a little bit pushy, like, well, hey, you know, I don't even know some of these people, and yet I'm being asked to tip them. So that's one thing you're seeing. Increasingly in buildings, you're also seeing, it seems, these boxes where, you know, you put the envelope in the box, and it obviates the need to actually track down each individual tip recipient. There are finally some buildings that actually pool all the tips together and then give it out on a formula basis. But that has been shown to actually increase the level of overall tipping. But for some reason, it's still not very, very popular among building workers.
Larry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Sewell Chan. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I live in a building that has more of the doormen are more like security guards. They have no obligation to help. It's Manhattan Plaza. And there's one particular doorman who's really unfriendly and unhelpful. And so I decided to give him a $25 tip last year to kind of buy him off. And it was very successful.
There's an honest man.
Me or the doorman?
You.
Oh, yeah. I definitely bought him off. I gave one to the doorman who I love, and I gave one to him, and it's really proved successful.
Sewell Chan, the last honest man.
Larry, did you give the same tip, though, to the doorman you loved as the doorman you didn't love as much?
Yes. I did kind of a $25 thing. They're both primary doormen, and the one is very accommodating and sweet. And like I say, they are not required to do doorman services. We have a pool, you know, a building box.
But you went above and beyond the pool.
Above and beyond the pool. I wanted to use that. Not power, but
leverage. It's leverage. And so, thanks for your call, Larry. And so you wrote on your blog that the tip could be seen as an acknowledgement of the past year of assistance or as a prepayment for the next, which makes it sound like kind of a bribe.
Or more cynically as a bribe, exactly.
Kate in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kate.
Hi there. I live in exactly the same building setup as your guest there.
Uh-huh.
And we had a succession of wildly crazy superintendents, and I never tipped them. And then now we have a permanent one, and I haven't tipped him in years, and I'm absolutely afraid of the whole thing. And A, I don't know how much to tip him regularly, and B, I don't really know how to make up for the fact that I've been just avoiding the whole thing altogether. So I thought I could get some advice.
That's a fascinating. Your name's Kate?
Yes.
That's a fascinating situation. You know, I'm a little bit loath to give personal advice, but I would make two observations. One is that a lot of people, when they're trying to figure out how much to tip, talk to their neighbors. But as my blog item points out, that can have its pitfalls because neighbors are likely to underreport to you what they're tipping. Why are they likely to underreport? Because they want to remain near the top of the most generous. So they're more likely to understate what they're actually giving, according to the research by Professor Bierman. But in terms of past years, it's very, very interesting. I think that there's sort of I wonder if there's sort of an age premium. This is something I haven't had a chance to explore yet. But whether or not, you know, younger tenants or newer tenants in buildings, because they're still sort of learning the norms and mores of their building, whether or not they're forgiven a little bit for not tipping. I mean, it might make sense to just start tipping now if that's what you're inclined to do, and you know, not really try to make up for or address what happened in the past.
So here's a comment on our website that says, I'm thinking of leaving a stocking filled with coal for the mail carrier this year. That's better than he deserves. And here's Mark in Westchester, who I think is on the other end of the scale. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how about you?
We give our nanny about $1,500 plus a present for her and her husband. We give the guys who carry the trash about $100 each. We give them $50 each. We try to give the mail carrier about $100. It's problematic. I mean, it's really become problematic just because this is not even including what we include, what I pay for the people at work. So,
and what did you say you tip your nanny?
$1,500.
$1,500.
Yeah.
Are you hiring?
But it's literally she's unbelievably helpful. I have a large, you know, I have a bunch of kids, and you know, it's a few weeks' salary. So,
did your wife marry you for money?
No, actually, she didn't. She's the primary breadwinner.
How about that? So, Sewell, I guess that academic who you quoted on the blog, who said that I'm looking for this reference here, that it's that somebody who tips too much can risk losing the power relationship.
It's never been a question. She's absolutely fabulous. She doesn't expect anything. Yeah.
And besides, is she a full-time employee?
Pardon? She is a full-time employee.
So really, maybe $1,500 is not really that much. I mean, it's a nice, generous tip.
Sure.
Exactly, Brian.
But as a percentage for a full-time employee, it's just a decent little bonus.
A lot of people, yeah, I mean, for a full-time employee, that seems quite reasonable, actually.
Great.
Right. Mark, what was your issue? It's just getting overwhelming?
It's getting overwhelming. I mean, I make some money. My wife makes more money, but at this time of the year, it gets really tight.
Mark, thanks a lot. Here's a tippy. Stan in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stan.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Excellent. I'm usually the recipient of tips, and I am a licensed massage therapist, and my work consists of traveling to people's homes. And whereas, I guess I wanted to say that I don't necessarily expect tips, they're certainly appreciated, but not getting a tip from a client who is otherwise problematic, who cancels appointments, who has otherwise become somehow irritating, it's a great reason to give them the heave-ho in the new year and sort of fire them from the clients.
So it really, in other words, you can be bought off like that guy who was tipping his bad doorman.
But I guess I can. I mean, if you're a real pain in the neck and you've really been a difficult client, if you're exceedingly generous at this time of year, I guess I will put up with you for a while longer.
Thank you for your call. Another honest man, Sewell.
If I could respond to Stan, I mean, one of the first comments that we heard from readers was of a man who works as a personal fitness trainer. And he talked about representing a client worth several hundred million dollars who did not give him a cash tip but instead gives him a bag of oranges each year. And the bag of oranges really just kind of, irritated him, frankly.
Right. The wrong tip is worse than no tip at all.
Wait, Stan, is this Stan or Brian?
Stan.
It's Stan, yeah.
That was Stan.
It's worse than no tip at all, you think?
Right.
If
you give me a gift card for $25 to Nordstrom, that's really irritating because I have to drive all the way to Nordstrom, and all I get to do for $25 is buy a pair of socks.
So you'd prefer cold hard cash?
That's right. Green is where it's at.
Okay. All right. Rebecca in Manhattan's going to get the last word. You got about 15 seconds. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, I'm so thrilled to hear that someone is tipping their nanny $1,500. The first person who tips higher than I do, so thank you for that. The other question I had was about administrative assistants. Is there a protocol for tipping them, or can it even be called a tip, or is that already a bonus?
Sewell, 10 seconds on administrative assistants.
Yeah, that's sort of a new area, because usually secretaries and administrative assistants are part of the same company. So if they're on the same company payroll, there may be human resources issues you need to raise with your managers before going ahead to give a tip. But gifts, however, are often different.
Sewell Chan blogs at nytimes.com/cityroom. Thanks for coming on and talking about tipping today.
Thank you, Brian.
Zach Marsh at the audio controls today. Noah McGovern, Chip Colgan, Lisa Allison, Priya George. Produced, I'm Brian Lehrer.